it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome back to 755 Forever. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer at The Athletic, with my co-host, Eric O'Flaherty, former Braves reliever. What's going on, Eric?
What's up, Dave?
Well, the Braves came home and got just what they needed, I think, after that brutal 1-5 road trip to come home and sweep a couple of games from the Red Sox. Had an off day, two well-played, really well-pitched games. Showed some signs of the offense coming back to life. Not totally yet, but that two-home or four-run first inning last night was a lot more like we're kind of used to seeing against a good pitcher, Pivetta, who's had been really good before he went on the IL. So Chris Sale pitched great last night. They really played two good games, had some great defense. Kelenic made a great catch. And Marcell Ozuna, what can you say? He just keeps doing it. But they really needed to have that, I thought, two-game sweep. Now they get a day off today before they go up to New York and play the Mets in three games. And chance to make a little more hay here. They stayed, you know, within two games of the Phillies, which, you know, I know it's early, but you don't want to let Phillies get five or six games ahead.
I agree with you, but I kind of feel the same as the way you look at a game when they're down two or three. You know, I feel like with as good as this team is and things haven't, you know, they had a rough trip, but they could go on a 10-game win streak and all of a sudden you were two up and you find yourself three or four back, you know, really quick.
And last night, when you give Chris Sale a multi-run lead in the first inning, the way that guy's pitching right now, and we've talked about it, all you need is for those guys to go six strong, because if you're doing that and you're not overworking a bullpen, that bullpen is as good as any when they only have to get three innings in a game, especially when you had an off day before it, so everybody was available. And it was just a really well-played game. I thought I'm continued to be so impressed by what all the guys say about Ozuna. And what they say about Chris Sale. Chris Sale was just a great addition to this clubhouse. And that guy's post-game interviews, he just has a way of pushing all the right buttons, saying all the right things. And it's not scripted. He's just, that's who he is, the veteran that he is at this point of his career.
Pitch count got up there pretty good. But, you know, you get through the first inning and you kind of take an exhale. And then, you know, next thing you know, you got four runs on the board. So that helps a lot, too.
He's made the mistakes. He's done dumb things. But he's just such a seasoned veteran, such an intelligent guy, and such a great teammate. And he knows how to spread the accolades and defer and all that. And he's totally accountable. He's his harshest critic by far. That's the kind of guy you want to play behind, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason the interviews and stuff are so good, because he's just saying what he means. And that's who he is. You know, it's like the guys that know what they're supposed to say, but you can tell they don't mean it. It never comes out. It never comes out in a way where it feels believable. But
it's forced.
Yeah. And it's the same thing if you're around a guy like that. I mean, I always like to use the example with my buddies when they don't like to, you know, give chemistry or leadership and those things any credit. I'm like, how's the vibe at your work environment? First person they talk about is like their boss. And that's kind of what your veterans are. They're in that leadership role. They show up shitty. It's not fun to be around them. And if you have guys that – think about anybody in your life that's just consistently fun to be around, that you can look forward to be around. I mean, when you can depend on people for that, it just turns into so many good days.
And that's what he said about Ozuna. He was asked about Ozuna, what Ozuna's doing at the plate, especially after, you know, there was a chance it looked like the Braves might release him last April when he was struggling again after the two tumultuous seasons on and off the field. Sale was asked about him, and – his quotes about him were just terrific. He was asked about Marcell Ozuna and how he's rebounded from two seasons and last April. And Sale goes, it's unreal. He's setting records. And who he is as a teammate, he's the fun guy to be around. He's got a magnetic field around him. You just want to be around him. He's a fun guy to play with. He keeps the energy up in the clubhouse, in the dugout, on the bus, on the plane, no matter where you're at. You just want to be around the guy. He went through some struggles last year. I saw it from the other side. And to be able to overcome that, it's not easy. This game is hard, and people can be tough on you as well. I've lived that too. So for him to be able to put all that aside and grind it out and be where he finished last year, and he picked up this year, obviously, right where he left off, that says a lot about him. Who he is as a person as much as it says who he is as a baseball player. And that's very impressive.
I think we're hitting that point where we can look at his numbers over a year span pretty soon. But when you get rolling
today,
you know, what's he at?
I looked that at today because I know he's up closing on 162. Since May 1st, actually it began May 2nd because they were off on May 1st last year. But since May 2nd, 160 games, 598 ABs. He scored 103 runs. He's got 180 hits, 34 doubles, one triple, 50 home runs, 136 RBIs, 66 walks. He's hitting 301, 669 plate appearances, 85 extra base hits, 366 total bases. He's hitting 301, 372 OBP, 612 slugging, and 984 OPS for 160 games.
That's insane. I wonder if you can look and see if anybody has even a comparable 162 to match that, you know, in that time span.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be the best.
Well, since May 1st, I went to FanGraphs and do the since May 1st and just look at the leaderboard. He and Kyle Schwarber tied for the lead now with 50 home runs since May 1st.
Schwarber's probably batting 100 points lower.
Yep. Schwarber also has 9 more games. He's got 31 more ABs. He's got 104 more plate appearances. Schwarber does. Oh, because he's leading off.
Yeah.
Zuna's hitting fifth and DHing. 104 more plate appearances in 9 more games. Isn't that crazy?
That's why teams do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you're seeing guys like Freddie in the 2-hole and certain guys leading off.
104 more plate appearances, but he's got 55 fewer hits.
Yeah.
Schwarber has hit 199 in that span, and Ozuna's hit 301.
Yeah. I didn't think he'd be hitting 300 over a full year.
Uh-huh. 115 ribbies to Ozuna's 136, 16 doubles to Ozuna's 34, and as far as the advanced, as far as OPS, it is... In that span, Ohtani leads with a 1,110 OPS. Mookie Betts is second at 1,025. Ozuna is now third at 984 ahead of Juan Soto and Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna. Matt Olson is seventh still, despite how bad he's been so far this year. But, yeah, you got to go way down to get to Schwarber because the average in OBP hit way down. It's crazy when you think about Schwarber is hitting leadoff for them, but it's worked, you know? It's worked for that unit, for that specific team. But you would have laughed if somebody would have suggested that years ago, that somebody would be hitting 199 over a full span, a full year, and be batting leadoff.
It's one of those things that it'll never make sense to me, but I know that they've crunched all their numbers they need to crunch and makes sense for them, you know. But I'll never understand a 200 hitter leading off a game.
Weighted runs created, which is a really good stat. It takes into account a lot of different things. Ozuna is fifth in that span, and that just ahead of Acuna, because Acuna, you know, hasn't been the same this year, obviously. 163 to 159. Altuve right behind them. Only ones ahead of Ozuna. Four guys ahead of him. Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Juan Soto, Freddie Freeman, and weighted runs created.
Can you imagine if they pulled the plug on, like, May 1st?
Oh, my God. And imagine if he would have somehow gotten hooked up with another team, gone right in the lineup, and done what he has
done.
That's
what I'm saying.
That would be one of the worst moves in history. And that's the risk they couldn't take, especially after they didn't do it when they could have been excused for doing it, you know, after the arrests.
Yeah.
So once you didn't do it then, you could not do it after just for lack of performance.
No. Yeah, that would look bad, though, if he went to, like, a division rival and put up these numbers.
Yeah.
You still would think, like, no, he wasn't going to do that here. You know, he's never going to turn it around here. They had to pull the plug. You kind of have that out, but...
You're right. Try to justify that to people with those numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it was obviously my old team, you know, and you know, we haven't been playing great baseball. We had a rough road trip. Obviously we took one yesterday, which was nice, but you know, that kind of put the exclamation point of like, hey, we're kind of back, you know, offensively.
And speaking of Sale, last night, 6 innings, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk, 6 hits, 103 pitches, 69 strikes. They're using him perfectly, I think, and giving him extra rest. But that was his 82nd career double-digit strikeout game, dude. First this year. The only guy ahead of him, active pitchers, is Scherzer. He's got like 103, I think, 100 and something. Maybe more than that, but
is Verlander not considered active? I think he'd have that many too.
He doesn't have that many.
Wow.
Yeah, you would have thought, but yeah, I would have thought that too. But the only one is Scherzer, and he's only the ninth in history to have that many double digit strike, or he's ninth most in history double digit strikeouts in history.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you watch him throw, and it's not surprising. That slider he had yesterday, oh. I know it's always good, but that was the lefties Bad. Were, I mean, they were swinging and missing it by 2 feet.
And some good hitters who know him, you know,
yeah.
who know him very well.
Yeah.
I thought that made it even more impressive. The fact that he knows them too, obviously. But I mean, if anybody's going to have a book on him, it's them.
I don't think the book matters.
Yeah, you're right. With that, you know. With that slider and that. Yeah. So right now. Strikeouts, he's up to 9th, tied for 9th in the majors with Jared Jones, that gas-throwing Pittsburgh pitcher. Same number of games, 7, same number of starts, 7. They've each got 52 strikeouts, Sale in 42 and two-thirds innings, and Jared Jones in 41 innings. And then he's only, like, if he had 3 more, he would be 5th in the majors in strikeouts, or 6th. In the majors in strikeouts, behind Glasnow, Wheeler, Cease, Louis Castillo, and Jack Flaherty, who all but one of those have 8 starts to in the top eight. There's only 2 guys who don't have 8 starts: Flaherty and Skubal. And that's how many Sale's got, 7. So very impressive. The WHIP, always a great stat. The WHIP, he is. Right now, Sale is 16th in the majors at 0.9, tied for 14th with Freddie Peralta, Pablo Lopez, Chris Sale. They're ahead of Yamamoto, who's at 1. Yamamoto,
he's at, what's he at?
Yamamoto's at 1.
No, what's Sale at?
0.98.
Yeah, anything under 1, I think it'd be impossible unless every hit you gave up was a home run. But if you have a WHIP under 1, it's almost impossible to have even a somewhat bad season. Yeah. If you have a WHIP under 1, that's why it's such a great stat, and it shows how dominating he is. Man. Yeah. A WHIP under 1 as a reliever is dominating, but as a starter, it's just unreal.
52 strikeouts and only 8 walks, and only 2 home runs allowed. No, hit batters. I'm sorry. He's given up how many home runs? 4. 4 homers. That's good, man. 34 hits and 42 and two-thirds innings. So he's been everything, and I would suggest more than the Braves could realistically have hoped. I mean, yeah, you want him to be a sub-3 ERA, but really, could you have counted on that and him making all his starts to this point? I know it's only early May, but still, he's made all his starts, and he's going 6 or 7 innings every time out.
I'd focus more on that than the ERA. You know, just getting 6-7 out of a guy every time now in today's game. I mean, you're probably averaging 5 innings from starters now. Back, you know, 20 years ago, yeah, you want 7 or 8. But now 6 or 7, if you're consistently getting innings out of a guy, it's great.
I mean, you can't overstate how much of how important it's been that he's pitched so well and that Ronaldo Lopez has pitched so well with
Strider out.
I mean, that's what they needed, and they're getting, especially with Fried struggling early. Fried's been himself lately, but if those guys had not stepped up, you would be without Strider and with Fried struggling. Man, that has been crucial that those guys have picked up so much of the slack with those guys out.
I think Lopez has been obviously the biggest surprise, but
yeah.
My view on Sale before the season started was like, it's just so hard to fail with that stuff. So if he's healthy, you know, and he's got a good mentality, he's got to throw strikes and be healthy. and you're it's hard to have a bad season.
Lopez in six starts is 1.53 ERA, 1.13 WHIP, 205 opponents average, 36 strikeouts, 14 walks, and 35 in the third innings. But he's got the stuff to get out of these jams when he gives up, you know, the walks. He's only given up two homers, 26 hits. So he's been dynamite, I think. And then Frieda's really come around after having a 7 ERA just a few starts ago. He's getting back to being where he needs. If Fried is pitching like he is lately, because his ERA is down to 4.23 now, he's just looked a lot better. Then you got Charlie, you know, still a very good pitcher with 3.50 ERA, six starts. Yeah. Charlie, 33 strikeouts, 13 walks. That's a solid foursome right there. And all you need is three of those guys to be healthy, preferably Sale and Lopez and Fried. You'd want to be healthy because if they're at the top of their games, that's a rotation that can match up with just about anyone. Phillies right now would be the best with Suarez pitching the way he is. But you saw what Nola can lay an egg once in a while. And he did yesterday.
It's tough to take anybody over Max or Sale locked in. You know, it's tough to Wheeler maybe when Wheeler's locked in. I mean, he had some starts last year where Wheeler, you're just tipping your hat. But I'll take Sale against Nola.
Yeah, I mean, Nola right now is 4-2 with a 3.67 ERA. Yeah. I mean, Sale's pitched better.
Yeah.
He's got 47 strikeouts and 15 walks in 49 innings. He's given up 7 home runs, 1.20 WHIP. Sale has pitched better.
That Dodger squad's looking tough, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wheeler and Suarez have been terrific. Suarez has been the biggest surprise, I think. Right now, Suarez would win the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Probably, you know? He's 6-0 with a 1.72 ERA in 7 starts.
He's been impressive strikeouts. In playoff starts, though, the last few years.
Yep.
You know, it hasn't transferred to the regular season, and it's a long season where he has some bad ones, but I haven't seen him have a bad start. Every time I've watched him, and it's mainly been playoff games or stuff late in the season, I've been like, this dude is good.
And that's how he's pitching right now. He's got 46 strikeouts and 6 walks in 47 innings.
Yeah.
He's got an 0.72 WHIP.
He makes a lot of pitches. I mean, he throws cutters into righties, changeups down the way.
Yeah.
He's tough on lefties. He's a really good pitcher.
So Wheeler and Suarez are obviously terrific. But, yeah, I mean, if those guys are locked in, I would take the Braves threesome, and certainly they're four over the Phillies right now.
Yeah. And not to mention the Phillies, they're big sluggers. You know, two of them are left-handed.
Yeah.
Fried against Harper is a good – Sale against Harper. Harper sat against Sale when at the start of the season. Hit a day off like game three or something that. So that tells you he doesn't like that angle. So – having the lefties to go against that lineup's good.
And the Braves put Matzik. We can see that coming. The phantom injury, we talked about that. They had to do it. I mean, obviously, nobody's going to admit it, but, you know, he needed to go down. He was only pitching, you know, every 4 or 5 days, and he needed, like Snit said, you can't get your velo up, your command and everything, coming back from Tommy John when you're not pitching much, and they had to pitch the other guys because they're pitching so much better. So, this will give him a chance, I think, rest a few days and then go down to AAA and work on some stuff for a few weeks, I would guess. Could be a good move for him. But in the meantime, they bring Kerr up yesterday, and we saw why the Braves wanted to go get Kerr from the Padres. Yeah. Got great stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Matzik's in. That's the toughest spot to be in the bullpen, where you're not pitching well enough to pitch with the game on the line, but you're on a team that's always winning.
Yeah.
So you're missing a lot of games, and then the games you do come in are so spread out that – the hitters are relaxed, you know, they're trying to put up their numbers and they're comfy in those games. It's I always thought it was easier to pitch when the hitters are feeling pressure, like they got to do something. And if you mess up if you come into a game that's like 2-0 or 2-0 or something like that, you walk a guy, give up a single, strike a guy out, and then give up another knock, you got first and second and the best reliever on the team coming in behind you. So your numbers are way easier to keep contained with a setup man or a closer coming in behind you. Then when it's 8-0 and you come in and don't have it, it's like you might give up another 4 or 5 because it's your inning. And so when you're like struggling like that, you never really get those layup outings or you never get bailed out. You know, it kind of just – it's really easy for it to spiral. And then that on top of not getting to pitch a lot.
Make sure you guys have checked out our merchandise store. I haven't pumped that in a while. If you haven't looked, we've got some cool stuff on there, some T-shirts, tank tops, baseball shirts, slides, all kinds of stuff. I think we got some hats on there. Anyway, go on there and look. Some good stuff. Sweatshirts, 755 Forever stuff.
And you can go to 755forever.com. That's where you can find that. And any shows that you didn't get to see on YouTube or whatever are all on there. So just click store when you go there, 755forever.com. I think for the Braves to be where they are right now, even after that bad road trip, to only be, and the Phillies have been on it, they won 10 in a row at home. I mean, they've been on a tear. And the Braves are right there. Without Olson doing anything yet, with Acuna not being just being nothing close to Acuna yet, with Riley struggling until like the last week, that's pretty impressive. The Phillies have got to be going, what do we got to do to shake these guys? When Fried started out like he did, when they lost Strider, that's pretty damn impressive to only be a couple of games behind the Phillies, who have been playing their best ball.
Yeah, they you can't play much better than you are, and you know you can look across at the Braves and know that Murphy's been out, Strider's out for the year, and three studs aren't hitting like themselves yet. And two doesn't feel very comfy, especially this early. Yeah.
Best two records in the league. Phillies are 26-12, won 8 of their last 10. Braves are 22-12, so they're even in the losses. They've played four fewer games, two games behind. And Braves are 13-4 at home. Home field has really been an advantage for the Braves this year. They're getting good crowds again. And they've had better weather here than they have had on the road. So they'll go up and face the Mets, who are now back at 500, right there with the Nationals. The Mets and the Nationals are tied 18-18 apiece. I mean, the Marlins are only dreg in the division. They're going to end up losing over 100 games, well over 100, I would think. But they go up and face them. Mets are 9-10 at home. 5-5 of the last. The Braves should go up there and win that series. Win 2 out of 3, if not sweep. We'll see. Last time we said that, backfired. But I like where the Braves are, considering all the things that have gone wrong. They're starting to see Riley just hammer balls now. Kelnick hit his first home run. That was a relief for him, I know. That was a big one. And he's playing so well defensively. He robbed up probably a would-be home run last night. It was either going to hit the top of the fence and go over or come back in. But it was a hell of a catch. Sale really loved it. And I loved how Sale waited for him in front of the dugout to come off the field and hugged him, gave him a pat on the ass, man. That was really cool.
I don't think I ever got to feel that feeling of a home run getting robbed for me. But even when a guy just makes a great play, you know, I mean, it can change your night. There was a time, I think it was Brandon Phillips, I was struggling with the Braves. It was when I came back and I'd had the surgeries and sucked. And he just laid out in the hole and made a big play, and it was like that out. If I didn't get that out right there, it could have turned into a bad one. But anytime you get a free out as a pitcher, it's just such a relief. Kelnick's been, I mean, I've been really impressed with his defense.
Yeah, he's been really good. He's got a great arm. He's thrown out a couple of guys recently, I think 3 for the year. You know, they're running on him. They're not running on Acuna. And Acuna, they know his arm, but they're going to probably stop running on Kelnick before much longer, because his arm's every bit as good and maybe more accurate. But if he's not Harris level defense, he's not far behind as a left fielder. He's really good defensively. So I don't want to keep hammering on Olson, but man, he's struggling. It's what he's done. You know he's going to catch fire. I wrote some numbers in there today about how last year he was hitting 230 or so last year after 67 games and then caught fire and never slowed down after that. Hit 330 the rest of the way with a ton of homers, OPS over 1,000. That's why all the guys, they've seen him do this and nobody's worried about him. I talked to Seitzer about him. Seitzer said Matt is as good as anybody he's ever had at being able to make adjustments, take him to the game, never panic. So he said he's not worried at all. And Seitzer's not real big on expected numbers. He goes, but when I see a guy whose expected batting average and expected slugging percentages are so much higher than they actually are, and the Braves numbers crunching guys showed him those numbers too. And he said, then I've seen him hit so many balls that have died at the track, because Seitzer is like we are, as convinced or something with the ball so far this year, because they're not flying out for anybody hardly, except you guys like Shohei and Ozuna.
Yeah.
But he thinks when he's seen all that, he thinks it's all contributing, but he really thinks that Olsen's going to turn it on soon because of those expected averages and all that and all the balls that he's hit hard and had nothing to show for it. So, and he went through the same type thing last year. We were striking out a ton. And then when he caught fire, there was no looking back. So I think it's just a matter of time. But he's gone 26 games without a home run, and he's hitting 200. He got his average to 200 with a single in the first inning last night. I mean, that's just not him.
No, he'll turn it around. It's tough yeah. too with like, it's almost like when you're hitting the ball the way you want to, it's harder to get hits in the game right now because everybody's got these GPS locations for all their outfielders yeah. and yeah. infielders, you know, with all these shifts and all the data of where to play. You think about when outfielders just played straight up, infielders played straight up for like 90% of hitters. You hit a ball hard in the hole. It used to be a knock. And now it's like you can hit a ball 110, but if you hit it right where you normally hit it, it's an out. It's so much different now.
He had hit 139 with 30 strikeouts in his last 25 games for last night.
That's tough to do.
Yeah. And then the one that really stands out about him is, remember last year how incredible he was with runners in scoring position, hence the 139 RBIs? That's where he's really stunk this year. I mean, overall, his numbers aren't good, but scoring position last year, he was ridiculous. This year, he's hitting 175 with 18 strikeouts and 50 plate appearances with runners in scoring position. 520 OPS, that's 12th lowest among NL qualifiers. A year ago, he hit 322 with a 705 slugging percentage, 1155 OPS, and 191 plate appearances with runners in scoring position. That was his second-best slugging, second-best OPS in the majors behind Seager. That was it. Second-best in the majors. So that's where it's really shown up. So when he gets going, you just think what that means to the offense when he's driving in all those runs. Fortunately for him, Ozuna's picking up a lot of those RBIs that Olsen's not driving in. So,
yeah, and Ozuna's probably not going to hit 300 with 50 bombs over the next 162 again. You know, like it all kind of evens out. But the fact that you got three guys ready to get really hot and a few guys that already are, you know, they're still having a pretty good season.
Yeah. And it showed up in Ozuna's RBI totals too, because the guy's leading the majors in RBIs too by six. Yeah. He's got 32. Nobody else has over 26.
Yeah.
Harper and Baum are both at 26. Soto at 25. So he's getting it done, man. He's coming through hit after hit. That's with runners in scoring position and 32 RBIs. Ozuna is hitting 386 with a 1324 OPS in 44 at-bats with runners in scoring position this year.
I think it was one of his first couple years we were having a pitcher's meeting about him, and the catcher was just shaking his head. It was when he was hot. It was like, I don't know where to go. We don't really know how to pitch this guy. And I think that's why you see those good numbers and, you know, runners in scoring position, because it's like there's not
–
There's not a plan. I mean, he could take a slider down the way out to right center. He can get to the fastball in. His bat speed's so fast right now. It's one of those guys that when he's going like he's going, you just have to mix it up and hope for the best. But it's not like a execute and we're going to get an out type of guy, which is the worst.
Fifth best OPS runners in scoring position in the majors right now behind Harper, Salvi Perez, who's had a phenomenal year at an advanced age. Mookie Betts and Juan Soto, those only guys with better OPS runners in scoring position than Ozuna right now. Overall, he's leading in RBIs with 38. Soto's next with 33. So he's doing what Olsen did for most of last year, you know, leading in home runs now. One ahead of Shohei and Gunnar Henderson and Kyle Tucker.
You had to figure watching last year that that wasn't a normal season where they had like the whole season there were five or six guys clicking and sometimes seven or eight.
Yeah, it's almost like last year, they'd have five or six going. And this year, you've had five or six struggling at the same time. So it's kind of, evening out right now. And you got to think it won't last. But yeah, right now, they haven't had more than like three guys going at once.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of 755 Forever. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/forever to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/forever. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new health care regimen, including EE system.
Arcia has really picked it up lately. Yeah, the other home run last night. Back-to-back. Get this. Those were the first back-to-back home runs last night. The first inning. Those were the first back-to-back jacks of the year for the Braves. Didn't it feel like they were doing it every other day last year?
Yeah.
They had a ton of those last year.
Last year felt like they scored 15 runs every game.
Yeah. We went more than a fifth of the season this year before they had back-to-back jacks.
There was a point, I think it was in the middle of the season or maybe this time of year, where it felt like the only explanation was they were cheating. They were all hitting so well. I know they weren't, but there was just no explanation for how hot the offense was. I'd never seen anything like it.
There are people on Twitter convinced they were cheating earlier this year when they had all the guys up in the leaders among slugging and OPS. They're like, oh, it's not a coincidence. Oh, okay. How are they cheating? Nobody. They didn't have any reason or proposal or theory as to how they're cheating. They just figured they couldn't be doing that.
That's the best compliment you can get in baseball. Exactly. When people think you're cheating.
So the Braves made a couple of moves today. Basically, they replaced Louis Guillorme with Zach Short as their backup infielder. Reasoning, a lot of people were like, because when they initially made the trade, they traded Guillorme to the Angels for cash or a player to be named. And I put they had some redundancy with him and Fletcher. Guillorme wasn't playing any. And then they announced the Zach Short trade right after that. They got Zach Short for nothing, cash considerations too, from the Red Sox. And somebody said, well, if they had redundancy before, they just got it again with Fletcher. But no, this guy, Zach Short, the Braves view him as a really good, pure defensive shortstop, whereas Guillorme, they see as a more of a super utility guy. He can bounce around, but he's not the shortstop this guy is. And you know how much value they put on shortstop up the middle. So Arcia could get hurt. He's got hurt a couple of times. You know, freak stuff, get hit, plays hard. So if they need a guy to really play shortstop, they don't want to take a step back defensively like they did last year when Arcia got hurt. And they tried the rookies there and struggled there. And Fletcher still gives them the multi-position utility guy that can play good defense everywhere. And he's still down in AAA. This guy doesn't have options, so he comes up and replaces Guillorme on the major league roster, Zach Short.
That's been the craziest thing about this team, though, is you haven't had to have a single guy in your lineup that's sacrificing offense. You know, normally you have a team that the catcher, shortstop, center fielder, you know, at least one of them is kind of, you know, got a pea shooter bat and plays this amazing defense and you just can't give up the defense. But they've been able to have great defense at almost every position and good offense.
Right. If they were to bring Zach Short up, that would change.
Yeah.
Because he can't hit.
I just looked up the numbers. Yeah. That's what made me think of it.
But they also have, if they were to lose a guy for multiple games, they could bring up Fletcher.
Yeah.
Who's a decent hitter. So, but Short gets you, if you need to get through a game, or you need to pinch hit or whatever, double switch or whatever you need to do, pinch run. And he can also run, which Guillorme was not a runner at this point of his career. So Short will get you through a game and play some great defense. And that they really put a premium on that, especially with the pitchers. They got a lot of ground ball pitchers. And so that's the reasoning behind that. I asked somebody, I said, did Guillorme just needs to get more playing time? I thought maybe that was an issue because here's a guy in his career, even though he should have known he wasn't going to play, he probably was expecting to play a little bit more. But I was told, no, he's fine with his playing time or with his role. We just wanted to do this because Short's a better defensive, you know, pure defensive shortstop and all that. But I can't help but think Guillorme was probably a little bit, you know, like, okay, I'm never playing, you know. They really don't need a guy around who might have rightfully so wanted to play a little bit more, you know, once or twice a week at least get a start.
Yeah, but you got to know that when you sign with the Braves.
He should have, yeah.
I would assume he did. I mean, unless it's like the only team he could get a deal with, you know, where it's like, I really don't. Early. Yeah, so I wouldn't see that. It seems like a move they just wanted to make. But if you're signing with this team as a backup role, it's like, unless you're left field and you're Duvall and they're going to sit Kelenic against lefties, you're not getting on the field unless somebody gets hurt. Because everybody plays every day, too. It's not like these guys play 120, 130, and there's always a guy that needs a day off.
Yeah, he might have thought somebody might get hurt like they did last year when RC was out for, you know, with the broken, with the fractured wrist. But yeah. But anyway, so I was assured. So I was, that was just my thinking, but I was assured that's not the issue. And Guillaume was fine with his role. So I'm not going to, I'm not trying to say Guillaume was pissed because I was told he was not. So
you can't be.
They just like this guy's defense a lot better at short. Yeah. So Guillaume's fine at second. And Fletcher is too. Yeah. That's where we saw him. But short's a different thing, man. I mean, you got to have an arm. You got to be slick over there. You got to be smooth over there. Guillaume might be
past
that.
There's
just
so many hard hit balls from righties into that six hole and up the middle.
You got to be able to move. And Arcia, by the way, I wrote a story a couple of days ago on Arcia's defense because I felt like I'm watching a guy play a lot better defense. Last year was fine. It was okay. But this year, he has been terrific. I looked up the numbers, all the StatCast numbers. The guy's like well ahead of Dansby this year defensively. Range, throwing, his range is so much better than it was last year. Grades out so much better. And you could see it just watching him. He's making plays that balls he just didn't quite get to last year. Maybe that's just playing it a whole year, you know, after not playing it for a while. And the arm is a cannon. And Matt Olson, I thought, made a really astute comment that only a player probably would notice and make that comment. But as a first baseman, he said Arcia, not only has got a cannon, he's got a really great arm, but he has the ability to change his arm slot and throw from down here, from the side, from up here, from over. And as a shortstop, that's a real luxury because there's so many positions they get in.
Off balance. Where you just can't. Yeah. Cross
your
body.
If you have to set up, if you have to set up and throw from your regular slot, you're not going to get the runner. And he can throw, make strong throws from the air. You can see all the photos. Very photogenic. You can see all the photos of him throwing from different arm slots in the air with no feet on the ground.
Yeah, and that's a big difference between second and shortstop, too.
Yeah.
When you're throwing across your body at as a second baseman, it's a 60-foot throw, 70-foot throw. When you're doing it as a shortstop going to your left, I mean, it's
twice
120, 130. It's a long throw.
Yeah, short. Your second baseman almost never have those plays to make.
No.
Where they're up in the air throwing.
Turning a double play, sometimes you're coming across the bag, but you don't have a runner. Usually you can jump in front of the runner or take a step back and kind of have a consistent throw. A shortstop, it's like you're on the move, you're on the run, you got to throw coming across the bag to your left, and you got to throw going to your left or going to your right in the hole. It's a he reminds me honestly of Alex Gonzalez a lot, how smooth he is.
Yeah, how that's a good comp.
He takes those really tough plays, short hops, you know, backhands. He makes so many plays just look easy that if you're watching, you're like, fuck, that's a tough hop, or that ball was hit really hard, or he had to go a long way to get it and still made an accurate throw. I've been impressed with him a lot from day one, but I think you're right. This year, he's on another level.
Their left side of the infield, their defense is about as good as anybody's, man. They are the left side of their – him and Riley, cannons for arms, and Riley made two or three plays last night, sailed – noted the Riley's plays last night where he was just like, Jesus, man. I mean, Riley was making some plays, the bare hand coming in, the chipper play. And then he makes that play where he fields it behind the base, behind third base, and makes a cannon throw across the – I mean, he's really gotten good, man. It's with Arcia, it's almost hard to believe Milwaukee was moving him to third base in the outfield as a utility role before they traded him. It's hard to believe that they really thought that was the – where he needed to be, but maybe he's just gotten a lot better as he's matured. I don't know, but this is what Walt Weiss said when Walt was managing Colorado. He saw him as a rookie, as a prospect with Milwaukee in spring training. Somebody said, you need to watch this kid, because Walt obviously was an all-star shortstop one year with the Braves. And Walt said he went over and watched him. He said, yeah, this kid's a real deal. And then Walt said his career kind of got sidetracked, you know, and they moved him around a little bit. He kind of fell off a little bit, but he goes, to his credit, he's coming back now and become what he was when he was like a top 10 prospect, because that's what Arcia was at one point, like 2016.
I know a lot of guys don't love playing in the cold weather.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have a roof in Milwaukee, but that stadium never feels good to move there.
Right. And Arcia said he's much more, he's came up as a shortstop. That's where he's comfortable. He signed as a shortstop and he's playing the hell out of that position. And I think I would go out on a limb and say, among the not pre-ARB guys, but the guys that are well past ARB, he's probably the best bargain in baseball, position guys.
Yeah, he's making like $2 million, right?
$2 million a year. And he was a starter on the All-Star team last year because he was hitting so well. This year, though, he's became an all-around exceptional shortstop. making $2 million a year this year and next, and then there's a club option too.
If you're a good defensive shortstop that hits 250 with 10, you're probably making 10 mil.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And Dansby's making 26, 28 mil for the next 3 years, 28 mil.
That's 14 years of Arcia.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. You're paying him and Ozzie $9 million a year for your middle infield.
Yeah, I think maybe we got to backtrack on that a little bit and say Ozzie's still the best bargain because – well, maybe not, though, because Arcia for two.
Offensively, Ozzie is a lot better, but Ozzie's defense is pales next to Arcia's. He's just not he's not a great defensive second baseman.
That Ozzie contract is just insane.
He's a hit. He's one of the top three second basemen offensively, no doubt. And that's a long-term deal, too. So, yeah, and both guys are they're the most two upbeat guys on the team, too. Just constant, you know? Like with Ozuna, they're all there together. Lockers are together in a corner with Acuna and others. But Ozuna, Arcia, and Ozzie, especially Arcia and Ozzie, are like the most – those guys are the happiest dudes I have ever seen in a clubhouse for the 2 hours leading up to a game. They are constantly laughing, cutting, busting balls. And they do it with Olsen too. But the two of them and Ozuna – you can't walk by those guys and not smile. They're just so upbeat all the time.
That's the greatest life in the world, you know? Yeah. I mean, I definitely miss it. You get to go to work and it's 25 guys that there's a code, you know? There's expectations of your behavior. You know, you get out in the real world and people can just be a dick at work and go home and they can just believe everybody's wrong. You know, you get everybody on the same page and you get to go into that atmosphere. You're expected to bring it every day. There's an expectation of what your personality can be. And it feels good to do that. It feels good to bring that. But if you look at this team, it's hard to look around and find a dude that might be the dumpy guy in the clubhouse.
I know. Those three, man, we have said that about Freddie and Dansby. You can't afford to lose those guys for the clubhouse. But those three, what they mean in that clubhouse, along with Darno and Olsen and Riley, and they're different way. They're more leader by examples, more quiet kind of guys, but they all talk a lot. But those three guys, as far as the energy they bring, Arcia and Ozuna and Ozzie, you would not want to lose any of those guys anytime soon because they bring a lot. They add a lot to that clubhouse.
We had really good clubhouses when I was with the Braves, but I was also on this team in the minors that if you play on a team, especially coming up through the minors, you might keep in touch with two or three guys, you know, like your closest friends. But I have like my 2009 to 2013 Braves teammates that if I text them, they text right back. And then I have this group that I was with in the minors in 05. We played together for one season and we all still, you know, keep in really good touch. And it was that vibe where it's like clowning around, having a good time. You hung out off the field together. Tui was on that team. You should ask him about it. The 05 Timber Rattlers in Wisconsin. But we just had the best group of guys. And I think we came up short. We lost in the championship of that league. But the next year, that group, I got promoted at the All-Star break. But that group went on and won a championship. So I got the ring. So I have I have probably a $500 California Cal League championship ring. And then I have the Mets one for second place in the World Series that I sucked on and contributed nothing. That's worth like 20 grand. You couldn't pay me any amount of money for that championship ring from that group I was a part of because it's lifetime memories.
Yeah.
The Mets one I've thought about putting on eBay about 35 times. You know, like how much it means to be a part of like a certain group of guys and the memories you create. And that's what it seems like the Braves have, but they have it at the major league level.
Yeah, and that's why I think Ozuna, obviously we read the stats. I mean, he's been the best DH in baseball. But he's been almost as good as any hitter in baseball. You got to either pick up that option or work out like a three-year extension and bring down the AAV, but you got to keep the guy. I mean, he's just too, he means too much, this team. You got to keep him.
When I heard that story about him going and turning Harris's season around, just telling him how good he was, you know, and we talked about how when it comes from a certain guy, it means more than a coach can say it, you know, because you know the coaches are just trying to get you right. So it's not as believable. But when a teammate goes out of his way and does something like that, that's kind of when I was sold on like, all right, this guy might be a pretty solid clubhouse guy when his teammates are giving him credit. Yeah.
Day one.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. Kellogg said the same thing. Said from day one. He just came over at spring training and made me feel comfortable. Talked to me. It just said, the guy like says that he talks to everybody, but he makes everybody feel comfortable. So, yeah, Kellogg said he's helped me a lot.
Yeah, it's a game changer to have established major leaguers tell you how good you are.
With that, and they don't have to do it on the Aussie and Arcia contracts. You can give a little bit of that to extend Ozuna.
What's the amount on it, on the option?
$16 million, I think.
That's not bad.
It's a lot for a DH at his age, but with the if you could guarantee the production he's had, it's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Nelson Cruz kept having to sign 1 year deals, but he kept getting like 1 year, 15, 20.
And he that was type like, of guy. And he was like four, close to 40.
He's like 43 or something like that.
Yeah, Marcel's what, 30, 33 years old.
If he could, if he keeps doing this, yeah.
Oh,
play
man.
For nine more years.
Anything close to this for the rest of the year, you got to pick it up. It's a $16 million option. He's making $18 million this year. With a $1 million buyout. So, yeah, I think you either got to pick up the option or try to sign him to like a three-year, $30 million deal, something like that, $33 million deal.
I'd try to go year to year with a higher value.
I'd go $10 million a year for DH at 30, 34, 35, 36 years old. With, you know, you're risking a fall off, but he's showing no signs of it now at all. And all he's got to do is hit. He's not going to get hurt running the bases or playing the field.
I think it'd take at least 15. I mean, because if he goes in, somebody will pay him 18. If he does this all year or something close to it, somebody will pay him 18 to be a DH.
I don't know. For DH, I don't know. Maybe. They might. It's going to be interesting.
Maybe not, though, because free agency sucked this year.
Yeah, it did. But the Braves can just pick up the option, if nothing else. Yeah. You know?
I just pick that up and lowball them. That's probably what anyway. They'll do.
All right, well, the Braves are going to go up to New York and play three. The weather's not going to be good up there. They're having really nice weather all week, and it's going to get shitty by the time they get up there. I think it's going to be raining and a little cool weather again, as it can be in New York this time of the year. So we'll see. They need to build on those two games. Really, really needed those two, though, and played well. And I fully anticipate. I told Justin Toscano last night. I said, I think by the time they leave New York, Olsen is going to be out of his funk. He's going to have a couple of games. He's going to have at least one big game start. I just feel it. I think he's near. We'll see.
Good place to get right.
Yeah. All right, 7:55 forever. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you watching us and giving us good reviews and all that. And buy some of that merch, all right? Thanks a lot. 7:55 forever. We're out.